Good evening. Hey, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. I'm not sure what has happened this evening in Washington, D.C., in Freedom Plaza. The last I heard, the people that I spent a couple of days with who decided to stay in Freedom Plaza were going to be forcibly removed by the D.C. Police Department or the Parks Department. I'm not sure which one. And I haven't gotten any updates here lately. So if you have any information, shoot me an email. It was a very interesting couple of days for me, and it was a welcome sight to see that many people. It was interesting how even press that one would normally think is sympathetic, and without calling any names, I'll just, you know, let it rest at that. The underestimate of the number of people in Freedom Plaza was astonishing. There were probably at the peak of Thursday, I'm just talking about Thursday, there were a good 2,500 people in Freedom Plaza. When we marched to the Chamber of Commerce and past the White House and in front of a couple of these filthy banks, there were probably 1,000 people marching. But as we've talked about before, I think corporate America is on notice that something is different this time. And something is threatening their stranglehold on this country. So much so that the right-wing thugs who operate in the basement of this country and send out their noxious clouds of lies and deceit are working overtime. They're just, it's incredible. I went to one of these websites today that happened to have part of the video of my little 10, 8 minutes on stage. And you know what never fails to amaze me is how these right-wing sites and the trolls who visit there are fascinated with the F word. If no matter what you say, you can say, well, guess what? There are aliens coming from a different star system to planet Earth. They're coming back to feed. They, sprinkled the human genome on this planet several hundred thousand years ago. Now they're several million years ago. Now they're coming back to eat, and it's going to be horrible. And I just think, you know, these aliens ought to go F themselves. If somebody said that, if I said that, all of a sudden the blogosphere would just fill up with, did you hear what Malloy said? He used the F word. I don't know why. What is it about right-wingers that they are so focused on body functions and the F word and just all that creepy stuff? Don't you right-wingers ever come out into the sunlight for anything at all? But anyway, on these right-wing websites, reading some of the postings, which to me is fascinating in a real macabre sort of way. I don't know what it's like. It's like watching hungry feral pigs devour a corpse out in the middle of the woods. It's just vile. I don't get it. I don't think I've ever felt more separated from different factions of Americans than I do now. I mean, even back in the 60s, in the anti-war days, late 60s, early 70s, when there were a lot of people who were still supporting the war because they weren't quite convinced that the war was based on lies and deception and corporate greed, even then, the people who were so-called pro-war were still open to, as a matter of fact, a lot of them flipped from being pro-war to being completely anti-war because they still had open minds. But here we are 40 years later, and people who identify themselves as right-wing or teabag or conservative or Republican, I've never seen anything like this ever. How unable these people are to use their own minds. And to me, it's like somebody has reached in and flipped a switch that was put in there at birth or so. I don't know. It's just incredible. It's just incredible. And the only way I can answer my own question is how do these people get so divorced from reality? Is to think about the kind of talk radio that they've had pumped into their heads over the past 25 years. That's the only thing I can think of. Right-wing television is bad enough, but you can escape that when you get in the car. Well, until Sirius and XM, now you can listen to it. But for 25 years, people were exposed to this distorted, unreal, steady stream of lies and deceptions about what this country was about, what the working class was about, what the middle class was about, what unions are about, what solidarity is about, what respect and decency is about, to the point where all these years later, we have a whole generation of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who bought into that right-wing garbage and are now unable to function on any level other than this knee-jerk kind of closeted fascism. And it's just, I don't know. It on the one hand, it's scary. But on the other hand, I also realize that nature or evolution has a way of weeding out the corrupted part of most species, the part that does not function in making a certain species more fit or more able to continue or more willing to work collectively to move into the next generation. So I do know that these people will select themselves out of existence in a manner of speaking, not in their lifetimes, not in 10 of their, not, you know, their great, 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 great grand offspring. But eventually they will, because to try to operate with 6, 7, 8 billion other people on Earth in the manner that they're trying to operate is impossible. It just can't be done. But again, to listen to some of the, and especially the kind of rhetoric, I'm going to share some with you coming back here in a minute, from these right-wing presidential candidates, the neo-fascists, this group of eight or nine who are just getting more bizarre each day that passes, to listen to how they describe, and congressional leaders on the fascist side describe the Occupy people, whether they're in New York or L.A. or D.C. or whatever, the descriptions that are being used are just unbelievably vile. But I went to one of those right-wing websites today and hung out for a while reading some of the postings, and I swear it's like wandering through an asylum for the criminally insane. Very scary. Not in a sense of, ooh, they're going to hurt me, but a sense of, how do these people function? I mean, how do they get up in the morning and last through a day and go to bed at night? It's bizarre. Information follows like a plane. Nobody knew from time to time if the plans were changed. Oh, 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 if the plans were changed. You can beat us with wires. You can beat us with chains. To rules, but you know you can't outrun a history train. I've seen a glorious day. I, yeah,
a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Well, thanks everybody who wrote. Apparently, Kevin Zeese, who is one of the core organizers of the October 2011.org movement and of the event in D.C., he met with authorities today, and a permit was extended for 4 months with the condition that other groups that have permits for future uses there will share the space. Thanks to Reg and Sand, a couple of people for sending that to me. That's great. Anyway, this sense of divorce from reality is just that I sense in this country is just, I don't know. It's pretty scary. I guess the part I'm having the most trouble with is understanding the 99% of the American people that are not, obviously, in the top 1%. How that 99%, so many of them, are so willing to continue to joyfully participate in their own oppression. That's the part I don't quite get. Now, I can understand historically why groups of people would do that. In different times, different places, very little communication. But this is here and now, where anyone who is ignorant of what's going on is ignorant by choice. And maybe that's the answer, that choosing to be ignorant. But how the 99% that is not and never will be in that ruling elite, how and why they are so willing to mock and denigrate the folks who are calling attention to what has happened here, the complete ripoff of everybody in America. And this is the part that just blows past me. The teabaggers, the right wingers who want to elect more of these fascist crazy people. What is it? There has got to be some kind of a hideous, yet to be discovered brain disease that is circulating among millions of people in this country. The right-wingers, the Republicans, the conservatives. How else to explain the contempt and loathing that they express for people who are camping out in the streets in order to protest a stranglehold that 1% has on everybody in this country? I cannot understand that. I mean, it's one thing to have someone have a different point of view. I can get into a discussion with somebody who's diametrically opposed to everything I believe in. And as long as I feel that they're sane or they're willing to use some logical point of view to make their point, you know, I can have a discussion with that person, agree to disagree agreeably, and still think that I'm talking to someone who is not completely mad, insane. But that's not the way the people who are mocking the Occupy folks are conducting themselves. I cannot understand. Now, I've said before that some of these people, like Glenn Beck, they do this for sport. They are so wealthy and so in that top, 1%, that they feel totally removed from any chance that something bad is going to happen to them. They can foment hate and anger and street fighting. This is what Beck thrives on, because he's a coward, because so many people like that are complete cowards. They want to see other people bloodletting each other. This is what they're about. This is what Beck is about. And I don't get why people don't understand that, how they're being manipulated into this blood sport for the sake of this top 1% or one half of 1%, whatever they are, who just don't care. You know, you take the average teabagger, the average right winger, the average person is going to vote Republican. The candidates, the corporate folks who control the reins, they don't give a damn about these people. I mean, even their vote is a joke. But they're so willing to line up and say, yeah, you know, those protesters stink. Aren't they funny? They're all dope smoking hippies. Aren't they funny? I can't understand that. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirt? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play. Before the hour, phone number here is 877-996-2556. From opednews.com, piece here by William Cormier. He writes that Main Street America's finally waking up. The GOP is panicking and labeling the protests as dangerous, anti-American, and worst of all, an attack on freedom. And as Cormier writes, the radical right-wing GOP seems hell-bent on claiming that their freedom is being threatened. And of course, in the process of doing this, the seeds of discontent and violence are being put out there, not by anybody in these protests. You know, a lot of people made a big deal about my telling the corporate predators to go F themselves. well, yeah, that's to the corporate predators who are causing the destruction. What are we supposed to say? Ooh, welcome here. Let me give you a big old kiss and a hug and continue to rape and pillage and destroy my country. I mean, this is the part I don't get. But Beck is out there telling people that the violent left is coming to kill, to bankrupt, to destroy. That would be funny. Except for the fact that Glenn Beck, a coward all the way down to the bottoms of his goddamn filthy feet, sits in his ivory tower and eggs on people in his audience who he knows are borderline psychopaths, because he is too, hoping to trigger something really terrible. This is what Beck and Hannity and the rest of these punks live for. Apparently, he was at the Voters Value Summit Saturday. Voters Value? Are you kidding me? And according to what I have here in his speech, he said, quote, hate is on a scale and is growing at a planetary scale of unprecedented size, end quote. Well, by people like you, you halfwit, you and O'Reilly and the rest of you people on the right. No, I it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with it. He said, quote, "The violent left is coming to our streets, all of our streets, to smash, to tear down, to kill, to bankrupt and destroy. It will be global in its nature and global in its scope." You can almost hear him licking his lips, just anticipating something terrible. Yeah, Glenn, they're coming for you, all right. In your mind, in your crazed mind, the violent left is all over the place. They're in your closet. They're under your bed. They're in your head. Yes, Glenn. I mean, you can't go take a leak, Glenn, without the possibility that some, oh, I don't know, bomb-throwing left-winger is going to leap out of the towel closet and cut your head off, right? Ah! He said, "As millions are taught or will teach others to hate and destroy, if we wish to survive, we must turn our own world upside down." What kind of rhetoric is this? What is he talking about? Come on. People demanding a decent job and not to be turned out of their houses and education for their children and social security for older folks or folks who can't take care of themselves and a decent welfare system and some health insurance. And this crazed son of a bitch turns it into that? Hate and destroy! Tear down to kill! Smash! Now you tell me, who's insane? Who's insane? People who'd get together and hold rallies that say end corporate control, stop the wars? Is that madness? Or is what people like Beck froth and spew into the atmosphere, is that insanity? And of course, Beck, you know, has that constant smirk on his face, that constant kind of insane giggle, like a demented, I don't know, demented person, somebody who's escaped from a maximum, maximum security asylum. Do we still have asylums? Critical care center. I don't know what they're called now. It's just, how do you label and identify people who are asking for decency and justice and a fair shake and wars to stop and American citizens not to be assassinated at will by CIA hit squads and banksters who have utterly destroyed the financial system to be held accountable, for the leaders of the former administration in this country to be held accountable for war crimes that were defined and delineated by us 60 years ago? How is that? I mean, what about that strikes such terror into the hearts of these right-wingers to the point where they have to start screaming about the liberals are coming and they're going to kill us? Ah! I mean, that's the part that I simply can't get my mind around. I have known, a full spectrum of people over the years. Right-wingers, kind of middle-of-the-roaders, don't have any particular point of view. Left-wingers, liberals, conservatives. And in every single instance, the people on the political right are terrified of everything. I don't get that. Even after they have stolen or glommed off millions of dollars, they're still terrified. And the people on the so-called left or the liberals or the, I don't know, the other side of the spectrum are usually sane, fairly happy, unless they're facing, you know, the kind of ugliness that life can throw at you sometimes. And when people finally say, look, We're tired of the disparity. What is it about right-wingers that they don't understand that the bosses make 400, 500, 7, 1,000 times what they make? And the right-wingers who support these crazy bastards will never have anything. I don't know what they think they're going to have. It's all based on things. They want things. Well, I want to drive a Mercedes. I want to live in a 40,000 square foot house. And therefore, I have to protect the 1% that are sucking my blood so that maybe in my fantasies, I can have a 40,000 square foot house and a Mercedes. I mean, as if those things really mattered. But to think that you'll ever be invited into the clubhouse, no. You'll always be left outside the gate, right-wingers. You Republicans, you're never going to get inside the big house with the people who are manipulating you, never. You're useful only so long as you are outside the gate with your fear and your loathing and your agitation and your condemning of people who are just seeking justice. Decency, honesty. I can't understand any of this stuff. I really can't. Beck saying they will drag us out into the street and kill us. Oh, my God. I mean, it is fully understood and accepted by everybody in America, including the people who follow him, that he's a madman. He's just totally paranoid, completely paranoid. And bordering on borderline personality disorder, he's very close to that fracture where all of a sudden reality splits wide open for him. And the only question here is how many people are going to follow him into the crevice when he goes. But to say that they're coming to drag you into the street, Glenn, and murder you? What kind of sickness? What kind of slop do you drink, eat, or smoke when you get up in that rarefied air of the top 1%? Are you, well, of course you're insane. But to say that Occupy Wall Street is an attack on freedom? Wow. All right, we're going to take some calls when we come back. Stick around. Doesn't matter. Mike, could you put this on the air? Occupy Oakland, California is in full effect. There are approximately 300 to 400 participants at this time. And people are still coming in spite of the drizzly, rainy, cloudy, muggy weather. For those who are in the Oakland area, the protest is taking place now at 16th and Broadway, downtown Oakland. So if you live in Oakland, California, 16th and Broadway, downtown Oakland. Occupy Oakland. In full swing, it says here. Yeah, all right, phone calls. Jeremy's in Burlington, Vermont. Hello, Jeremy.
Certain segment of the population population that could have a train coming up with the horns and the light flashing and they still wouldn't get what's going on.
I think you're right.
And I'm talking about the kind of people who are out there bitching and whining about the Occupy Wall Street people, saying they're entitlement people, they're baby trust fund people. They're out there doing this because they're lazy and have no job.
Right.
And they refuse to see the truth about it. In fact, we had, a protest here in Burlington this weekend, and I saw someone post on the lovely Facebook that the first thing that made them mad in the morning was they saw there's lazy people out protesting Wall Street on our marketplace. So, I don't know.
This is a part I can't understand. For example, I could never get my mind around the anti-union attitude in this country when it was union workers who either directly or indirectly built the powerhouse middle class in this country. I've never been able to understand the resistance to women's issues, like a woman's right to vote or a woman's right to privacy regarding her own body. Or I've never been able to understand the resistance to human rights for everybody, whether it's someone of various races or various sexual orientation, whether it's getting married or having full rights under they're guaranteed by the Constitution. I don't get that. I mean, why are people in this country if they're opposed to that?
Because they've been corrupted and their minds have been polluted by various news sources out there, which are just fake news to me. But
yeah, well,
to them, they live, breathe, and sleep.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy. But still, isn't there a moment when people really take a look at the Constitution? And those sections of the Constitution that lay out the human rights that are guaranteed in this country, and granted, those rights had to come through amendments. The original Constitution was pretty much for white male landowners, end of story. But over the years, all the Constitution or all the amendments that were added that tried to do, I think, what the framers had in mind when they said, you know, we're going to give you this document. Let's see if this country, we're stealing it. We're taking it away from indigenous people. We're going to build it on the backs of slaves. But here it is. Let's see what you can do. And why people don't sit down and read those amendments, the way things have changed, the efforts that have been made for the 250 years to try to right the wrongs that were inherent in the original Constitution, but also to try to explain to people, look, if there's any American or United States exceptionalism, it is the exceptionalism that should come from trying to be just and honest and decent. Well, why don't people get that? Jeremy, help me, please.
I don't know, but I even laugh because I see people all excited that Obama appointed Jeffrey Lamholt to be our jobs czar, of all people, and they can't figure out why he's hanging out with people like this. And I said, because he's one of them, whether he wants to believe it or not, even though they want to hang him and kill him. He's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is very much so. Thanks, Jeremy. All right. I guess we're just not supposed to understand some things, huh? Lobo is in Chicago. Hey, Lobo.
Yo, how you feeling, Mike?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm tired. I'm at work now. I did want to tell you that we got 700 or more people. I'm sorry, 7,000 converged from three different rallying points down at the Civic Center, Daily Center there in downtown Chicago this afternoon and evening.
Really?
And it's growing here. And we're getting local news coverage, but I talk to people around the country and they're not seeing it nationally yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it is growing, and I'll get involved with that. I just got back from D.C. this morning.
Uh-huh. That's good to see you.
Yeah, it was great to see you, talk to you, and see the turnout there. And we had a lot of good folks from Veterans for Peace and Vietnam Vets Against War. I ain't seen for a while. It was nice to see them there. We had a few people at the Space and Aeronautics or whatever that museum was. We had a few people there that were provocateurs.
Yeah, I read about it. Somebody from American Spectator who deliberately set
Patrick
off.
Patrick Howley.
Is that who it was?
Patrick Howley is this little punk, and I didn't see him there. I found out, you know, we know about him now.
Right.
At least I do. I was one of the peacekeepers slash medics.
Right.
I was bringing in food to the Food Not Bombs people, feeding everybody, and they were doing a phenomenal job. Just terrific people out there. And
well, I'll tell you what. As this thing grows and grows, as it will, Lobo, there are going to be more and more of these provocateurs. Who come with the attitude of Glenn Beck and the rest of these right wingers to try to cause trouble. Lobo, we got a break here. Thanks, man. Again, it was good to see you and talk to you. And I'll watch Channel 9's rebroadcast of the 9 o'clock news tonight and see if I can see what's happening in Chicago. Thanks, Lobo. Stay in touch. Spent a few days at the what is now being referred to as Occupy DC, although it was October2011.org that put it together. It really doesn't matter. Same thing, same goals, same objectives, same people, same mutual respect. After having spent a couple of days there, it doesn't cause me to become or help me become an optimist again, but it does kill some of the pessimism to see people who are totally dedicated to justice, to fair play in a country that used to tout itself as being a place where fair play existed more so than anywhere else. To see people dedicated and committed to that. And the other thing that is astonishingly sick to me, now that I have a chance to, you know, come back to the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains and get online and see how the right-wingers are responding to all this, what is just creepy to me is how, again, I'm struggling trying to get my mind around this, because it's almost impossible to understand that there are people in this country, millions of people, who willingly and willfully assist in their own oppression. I don't get that. Not in these times. Maybe 70 years ago, 80 years ago, almost 100 years ago, you think about the revolution that occurred in Russia after World War I. You think about the electoral revolution, more or less, that occurred in Germany in the early 30s. You think about the revolution that occurred in China in the 50s. And realize that all of those regimes were totally totalitarian, completely fascist. I don't care if they call themselves communists, it doesn't make any difference. And so much like the teabag, the Republicans, the right-wingers in this country now, who are so willing to participate in their own hanging. I cannot understand that. I swear to God. And to come back to this reality and get ready to do these broadcasts again and flip through the internet and see how much sickness bubble to the surface in the heads and then into the postings on various right-wing websites that my little 8 minutes caused. It's just incredible. Incredible. I don't get that. But I have, I've never in my life seen the kind of action. People talk about how the country is polarized. Well, okay, after 25 years of just poisonous propaganda pumped into this country over the airwaves, did Limbaugh or Hannity or Beck or any of these thugs, any of these cretins, at any time in their broadcast careers ever try to promote justice, equality, fair play? Ever? Or has it always been this perverted, twisted neo-fascism? I asked the question knowing the answer. Never. Even back when Limbaugh was still a comedian. Even then, the underpinnings of everything he said, which is so filled with contempt and this smirking attitude against people who weren't being paid millions of dollars a year to corrupt the airwaves like he has been. I swear to God, that's the only thing I can think of that has made this horrific cloud of poison descend on this country where it concerns us common people. You know, those of us who are not in the 1%, those of us who have not manipulated this sick, dying system for our own greed and 25 years of being under this noxious cloud of poisonous right-wing broadcasting, no wonder these so-called Republicans, these so-called conservatives are so effed up. No wonder. I mean, back in the day, Limbaugh used to say, you don't have to do anything except listen to my program. I will tell you what to believe. I will tell you what to think. Well, you know, the historical truth is that fascism in this country has always been just like a quarter inch beneath the surface. It doesn't take a deep scratch to free that monster. And the people around Limbaugh understood that. The people around Beck understood that. The people around Hannity and Savage and O'Reilly and the rest of these social killers, these people who would murder society, a struggling society, trying to correct the injustice, trying to find ways to come to terms with not just our past, but our bloody present. And then these people standing hip deep in the blood and the gore, urging more of it. Man. I don't know. Well, I can tell you this from firsthand experience now. And this is what the right wingers on the control media in this country are urging this to happen sooner rather than later. And I'm afraid it probably will. There is a potential out there for violence, not from people seeking justice and a just society, but from the right wingers who are terrified, and this terror is being whipped into a bloody froth by people like Beck. the right wingers who are terrified. They were not around during all the movements of the 60s, the civil rights, student movement, Native American rights, workers' rights, farm workers, environmental, you know, this is something that is totally foreign to them. They came of age, say around George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, and they have no sense memory of what occurred in the 60s and the 70s. Not really. So they see these encampments and they see this movement growing and they're terrified. They don't know what it is inside their own country that is starting to say, we are not going to continue this way. So that's where the violence is going to come from. And Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these people who are advocating violence in their own twisted little dog whistle way. And they are. These people are sitting up on the tops of their little media piles, just egging this on, just hoping that it happens. Knowing full well, or assuming full well, that when the storm comes, somehow they will be protected in their storm cellar. And that when the storm blows over, their attitude will be that their team will have won. And when the blood is sopped up and the bodies are finally buried, the people in on their level will then be the unchallenged rulers. I hate to see this happen. I hate it.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Cover your phone calls right now. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll just hold this for a second. Charles is in Boston. Charles, I understand there's something going on in Boston that is double plus ungood.
Well, I was at the gathering the last couple of nights. If something went down tonight, I'm not entirely sure, but I do know our numbers are really good.
Yeah, I'm getting emails from people who are just saying that they're apparently the police in Boston are getting ready to move in, whatever the hell that means.
Oh my goodness, I hope not. I mean, that would be a total change of how things have been going.
Well, if you find something, if you would email me since you're there, I sure would appreciate it. Just send it to mike@mikemalloy.com or whatever.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. I just want to mention at the gathering here in Boston, I mean, we have people of all ages. I mean, it's not just young people. There are students, but there are teachers, there are elderly people. From all professions. I mean, this—it's the ultimate slice of America, and it just blows my mind when right wingers try to just demonize these protesters. It makes absolutely no sense to me,
or trivialize them, or denigrate them. Same thing at Occupy Washington D.C. The people who are there. Range from the physicians to the former combat Marines to teachers to musicians. I mean, you know, God damn these right wingers. I'm just so sick of it. I'm so sick of their inability to do anything except pump hate and dissent and trouble into the country. Are you not sick of it too?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest bits of right wing propaganda that's been exposed, you know, their claims of the liberal media. There is no liberal media.
Oh, that old horse. Yeah. They keep beating. They keep killing that old horse over and over and over again. Is it dead yet? Yeah, but let's beat it to death again.
I mean, during the Bush years, anytime there was a protest against the war, they drew in thousands of people. No mention whatsoever. And the current protest going on right now, it's got no coverage in Boston. At best, it would make like page 8 in the newspaper, and the only thing that's really been mentioned in the newspapers has been the incident where I think 20 odd people were arrested in front of Bank of America. And of course, local talk radio is all totally right wing, and they have been completely vilifying everyone. And you know, with, I don't think people should be surprised at how right wingers respond, because they're only capable of three modes, which is hatred, fear, and ignorance.
Yeah.
And every week they find a new group of people to hate. One week it's gay people, then it's immigrants, and now they're hating the people who are involved in these protests. And
yeah,
they're just being right wingers.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, you know, they claim to be such pious patriotic Americans, but you know, they celebrate the collapse of American industry. They spit in the faces of the American people. I mean, mm-hmm. these right wingers don't love America.
No.
Not at all.
Not in the least.
But, you know, my hope is that these protests not only will go national, I hope they go international.
Well, I was just going to share something with the listeners before I took your call. I have a thing here from, where is it? This is from Eric in Canada. Hi, Mike. I watched an episode of The Fifth Estate, a Canadian news program on CBC that showed horrifying images of attacks by our friendly Canadian police at the last G20 conference. They absolutely beat the hell out of peaceful protesters and let the so-called rioters that just appeared out of nowhere run free as always. The Canadian Conservative government is hell-bent on sending Canadians a message, and that message is stay home and shut up. And then he talks about some other stuff, and then he says, Occupy Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Saturday, October 15th. So what you just said about seeing this U.S. model of demanding justice and demanding income equality to a certain extent is going international, I hope. Now, not that we're leading this. We're not. I mean, this movement started, the so-called Arab Spring in North Africa and some of the Middle Eastern countries. But I think it's a safe statement to say that people around the globe, no matter what country they live in, no matter what their social strata is, except for that top 1%, have had enough. And if the ruling elite doesn't understand this, there could be very serious trouble. Look at history. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Charles, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, bye.
All right, take care. We'll be right back.
Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
The Boston Herald a couple hours ago reported that thousands of Occupy Boston protesters are moving away from a Charlestown bridge after police warned that the bridge cannot support the thousands of protesters. The Occupy protesters were heading back to Dewey Square to their tent city, where police are also beginning to converge. It sounds like the Boston cops are getting ready to do something. And then I got this from Purple. My understanding of what is happening, Occupy Boston, a media person says that there may be an attack from the police after midnight. These media folks have rented a room across the street from the park to film a police attack if there is one. You can see live coverage on Global Revolution live stream. This is a second encampment in Boston, and the police want the protesters out. Well, back to your calls here. Nancy is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
I have a theory as far as why right-wing authoritarian followers continue to want to be a serf to the 1%.
Why is that?
I think it's because they can't face the truth. They can't face the fact that the corporations have taken over our government, that our government has done monstrous things.
Well, but that raises the question, why can't they? They see the same results as you and I see. I mean, they may hear different stuff. When they listen to Beck, they're having their brains just completely poisoned. But they still see the unemployment. They see the home foreclosures. They see the war criminals wandering around this country on their book tours right now from the Bush years. Are they blind too, Nancy?
I think it's more of denial. I mean, I think it's like finding out that your mother, who took care of you and loved you and fed you, is a mass murderer. It creates this cognitive dissonance. I mean, their brains are being short-circuited. They can't face that. And if they did, they would have to then face the fact that they've been deceived.
Mm.
I mean, that's just too much for a lot of people. And I think the few that will come out of their trance and face it, the 1% better look out for those guys, because they're going to be absolutely furious.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not the peaceniks who will bring out the guillotine, and
correct.
It'll be the right wingers who realized how they were lied to and deceived.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. All right, that's a good point. Thanks, Nancy. I appreciate checking in. All right, take care. You know, one way or another, and I think this is what gives me hope, is that one way or another, the right wing in this country will be destroyed. I'm hoping it'll be destroyed from its own internal rot, you know, to just decay and collapse. When you take a look at some of the people who have most promoted this rot, no, they're not collapsing. They're insane, and I think they are. I don't toss that around, that appellation, crazy people. Like you might say, I don't do it without realizing what I'm saying. I honestly, at the very depths of my soul, believe that people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh are insane. It's a controlled kind of insanity, but they're mad. They're just mad. They're amoral. They're just completely insane. The caller just pointed out, when when the just the average right winger realizes how he or she has been duped, they're going to be furious. And if there is bloodshed, I think that's where a lot of it will come from, is right wingers pulling down their own and just ripping them to pieces. You've read about this historically. But one way or another, I really do believe what gives me hope, because that comes up a lot. Don't you have any hope, Malloy? Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. But one of the aspects of this craziness that does give me hope is to take a look historically. I realize things are different now, but to take a look historically at this country, and every time there has been a rising up of really sick people who get control of any aspect of society, eventually they dissolve. They are beaten into submission, into oblivion, you know, until the next wave comes through. A lot of people point out, well, you know, this country has always survived crisis after crisis. What they're talking about are right-wing crises. They're not, you know, the left, the liberals have never caused any crises in this country. All the liberals or the progressives or the so-called left has done has tried to make things better for everybody. Now, sure, there have been false leaders on the left, but they haven't been insane bastards like you find on the right. But what gives me hope is a clear understanding that eventually these right-wing websites, this right-wing poison, these right-wing radio and television commentators, eventually they will be gone. One way or the other, they will be gone. And again, if you look back through broadcast at the historical relevance or significance or demise of these right-wingers, you'll find that time after time after time, eventually, and I realize it was different times back then. The corporations, people that ran the corporations had a sense of a fair play or justice or purpose or what have you. They weren't monsters. But still, eventually, the right-wingers were dissolved, like they were dropped into a vat of acid and just done away with. And I have to believe that will happen again. Because their methods, their tactics, their goals, their philosophy is insane. There is no rationality to anything that a right-winger espouses. No matter what it is, there is nothing there that can be balanced with truth or dignity or justice or decency or honor or none of it. It's all just dark and vile and vicious. And I swear to God, and once again, I challenge anyone who wants to dispute that. You know, right wingers, all they do is send me emails that are full of horrible misspellings and lots of personal attacks on me, like I have something to do with their lives. You know, people say, well, you can't complain about attacks, Malloy. You attack, you know, all kinds of people out there. Yeah, absolutely. The people that are screwing everything up. The people who are deliberately using their positions to undermine and further rot this society. Yeah! But if anybody ever wants to show me just once, and again, the challenge has been out there for 20 years, how anything that the political right has done, and you know, don't get cute with me, and you know, I'm serious. Anything that the political right has done that has benefited this whole country, on any level, I'm open to seeing what you got to say, but nobody ever takes that challenge because there is nothing that the political or the philosophical or the social right has ever done. I mean, back in the 50s, oh, there's commies all over in the government. Where'd they go? Oh, there's death panels from Obamacare. Oh, yeah? Well, when are they convened? Oh, there's this. Oh, there's that. That's all they've ever done is try to inject fear. Now what's happening, and Brad Friedman has written extensively about this, the taking away The latest thing I've read, and it was in an editorial in the Times today, about 5 million people, because of election laws that are being written furiously by these right-wingers that have taken over state legislatures and governorships, 5 million people are going to be denied the right to vote, most of whom will be people who would normally vote Democratic. I will issue a full frontal warning, and that is simply that the right can toy with this and try to manipulate this only so far. And once you cross that line, even though your toes are on it right now, that's why there's so much resistance around this country. But once you really cross that line, and normal Americans realize what a threat you are, and what you are really trying to do, there's going to be a reaction that will just astound you right-wingers. Take that as a warning.
Singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life.
Flying monkeys on the air, flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
10 before the hour.
Take these sunken eyes and learn to see.
Sanchez, Jennifer, Jacob, just hold on. I'm going to get your calls in a minute. Email here from Kay in San Francisco, our education correspondent. On Thursday, coming in San Francisco, there is an event that is going to take place. A protest is being organized. A protest of the event is being organized by the United Educators of San Francisco. And the Occupy San Francisco group has this listed on its calendar as well. Kay writes, at the D.C. gathering, you talked about war criminals being on book tours rather than in prison. Well, here we have two more criminals touring the country in pursuit of profit, this time at the expense of school children. And this is from the flyer. Being put out by people who are trying to organize against these bastards. Public education's enemies are playing the Palace Hotel in San Francisco. Let's give them a warm San Francisco welcome. And it says the people who brought you the Wisconsin debacle are coming to San Francisco for a, quote, education reform, end quote, conference on October 13th and 14th at the Palace Hotel in downtown San Francisco, hosted by Jeb Bush and his Orwellian-named Foundation for Excellence in Education. The keynote speaker at the conference will be none other than News Corp's own Rupert Murdoch. Join educators, parents, students, and other school supporters to give them a special San Francisco welcome Thursday, October 13th, from 4 to 5 p.m. at the Palace Hotel. The Palace Hotel is located at number 2 New Montgomery Street near Market, and it's easy to get there by BART and the municipal bus system, Muni, I think it's called. RSVP to United Educators of San Francisco on Facebook and spread the word. United Educators of San Francisco on Facebook. All right, that's on the 13th. Now, on the 15th, well, the best way to describe this, if you would go to the website 15october.net, 15, numeral 15october.net, if you go there, you'll find information, but from a different website. Dear friends, we are contacting you to share information about an international action which is emerging and being developed in different parts of the world. On October 15th, citizens around the world will take to the streets to express outrage at how our rights are being undermined by the alliance between politicians and big corporations. From the organization Democracia Real Ya, which is Spanish for Real Democracy Now. We invite you to participate in this peaceful protest by joining our call to action or by calling for other actions on this date. It's time to raise our voice. Our future is at stake, and nothing can hold back the power of millions of people when they unite for a common goal. Democracia Real Ya is a platform that originated in Spain to coordinate various civil mobilization groups. Under the slogan, quote, "We are not goods in the hands of politicians and bankers," end quote, thousands of people took to the streets on May 15th to demand a more participatory democracy and to reject corruption in Spain's political system and to show our opposition to the austerity measures imposed on us. Following the success of that first demonstration, several movements emerged, and then it talks about these. So, two websites. Go to October2011.org or 15October.net. Now, if you can't physically attend some of the... Oh, and who sent that to me? Patty, who is with Code Pink, just sent this 20 minutes ago. If you can't physically, for whatever reason, participate in person at these events, there are all kinds of ways you can participate. You know that. The online community is such that your presence is noted. You know how to do it. You know how to use social media. It was done in North Africa. It was done in Europe. It was done in the Middle East. It's being done here. So this Saturday, October 15th, could be a very interesting day. A global demonstration of connectedness. We are facing the same problems here as are being faced around the rest of the world. The irony is, of course, and this is not to get too into the mea culpa attitude, but there are parts of the world where American corporatism has been raping and pillaging for decades. And it's only when it starts to strike home that, and home being the United States or Europe, Canada, it's only when it starts to strike home that these global movements start, you know, when it starts slamming Western societies to the ground. This corporatist attitude that says you're not worth the power to the powder to blow you to hell, except insofar as you fit into our machine. That's when the resistance starts. Well, whatever it takes to get the resistance started. Once the system that is operating now is utterly and absolutely smashed into the ground, perhaps a more equitable, just system will be established. That's the hope. That's the hope. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, please stay there. We'll come to your calls right after this break. I'm Mike Malloy. back, 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. You know, what's really irritating to me is watching some of the so-called, or listening to some of the so-called liberal commentators still talking about, as if it mattered, all the backstabbing going on with the Republican political candidates. I mean, talk about fiddling while Rome burns. I don't quite get that. Who cares about that? Who cares whether Herman Cain is a bigger clown than Rick Perry, or if Mitt Romney is more of a member of a cult than John Huntsman? I mean, who cares about this crap? It's insane to watch these people with national network, this is cable, but national network television programs going on and on and on about these Republican candidates as if it mattered. Dorsey in Denver writes, if you go to Facebook and search for Occupy Berlin or Occupy any other city, you'll see they're all planning to demonstrate on October 15th. I've confirmed Berlin, Tokyo, and London. These are the only cities I've tried, Dorsey writes. We'll see if our, quote, liberal, end quote, media mentions any of them on Saturday. And Hala in Edmonton, Canada writes, click on the special coverage box on the left-hand side of the Common Dreams website to check out the cities in North America and Europe which are involved in occupations. It's the fastest way to find out what is happening in each city. It also shows which one is live streaming at any given time. The website Occupy Together also gives a list of all the international cities involved. So, Facebook, and search for Occupy Any City, or Common Dreams, Occupy, or Occupy Together. There's three ways you can find out about these coordinated protests, or not so coordinated, but just as far as the date is concerned, that are to occur this Saturday, October 15th. Now to some calls. Sanchez in East L.A.
Well, actually, I'm one block away from City Hall here with my eyes right on the General Assembly, Senor, which started about 9 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. A very good evening to you, Senor.
Hey, how you doing, Sanchez?
Welcome back from Washington, D.C.
Sure.
I was talking to Kathy right now. I don't understand it. It seems like Los Angeles is the exception to the rule. One of the strongest points that is being stressed right now is the right to free speech and the freedom to assemble. And it would seem that the Los Angeles City Hall and the Los Angeles Police Department, we seem like the only city in the country where that is being allowed to happen right now. They've been exceptionally good to us, Senor. I know I was talking to Brad and Desi last week, and by the way, they were very, very good to me in letting me get in on the first hour for KTLK, so I would like to say thank you to them.
Sure.
But I was telling them that, you know, L.A. has been going right. At the moment, I just got off of the Hollywood Freeway, the 101 overpass, where there are people from Occupy L.A., Better Jobs L.A., people from all walks of life, and we're occupying every single overpass over the 101 freeway in downtown Los Angeles. Here it's 8:10 p.m. West Coast time, so this is what's got going on right now. Mm-hmm. So in conjunction with all of these things, it's all coming together here. So my heart goes out to every other city. We feel like that we're quite fortunate here. I mean, even during last week's march that we did on Thursday, this crowd of between 500 and 800 people meandered from the California Plaza where we gathered at 12 noon. We started our march, and you should have seen them. Again, respect to the fire marshal, respect to everybody, because it was a miracle. These 800 people were able to get through the financial center. We passed our way through Chase Manhattan Bank and then 12 demonstrators. I want to stress here that I said something incorrectly last week. 12 demonstrators, but they were not from Occupy LA. They were from an independent group, occupied the Bank of America building. 11 of them, I should say, got into the lobby and then unfurled this huge bailout check and saying, pay back Wall Street to give us our money back. What was it, $683 billion that Bank of America received? So they unfurled this check, and it really got everyone else charged up. But it's happening here in Los Angeles. We have the freedom to assemble. We have the right to free speech. What is happening with the rest of the country, senor?
I wish I could answer, but you know, the one thing that really is pleasing about liberals, left-wingers, progressives, whatever, we're so damn creative. You know, like unfurling this huge check. I mean, have you ever seen right-wingers do anything that is thick with intended irony or humor? On a level that you always find progressives use humor, use slogans the right way.
Right.
When tell me a right wing protest song.
you got me there. I have no idea.
They don't exist. They are the most uncreative lot of human beings that I've ever come across, right-wingers. They don't do anything. They don't create anything. They're not, you find nobody in the creative arts who is a right-winger. Oh, there might be a few Hollywood jerks who are right-wingers, but I'm not talking about that. You know, those people can do nothing unless they're handed a script. No offense to actors, but you know what I'm saying.
Even the Fox News, Saturday Night Live, they had a Saturday Night Live. They tried to do a takeoff on right wing and it failed miserably.
You can't parody something as hideous as right-wingers. All you can do is just sit back and stare at it and go, oh my God. Hey, Sanchez, I got to move on, all right?
Okay, gracias, senor.
All right, thanks, Sanchez. I appreciate you checking in. Jennifer is in Chicago. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, Mike. It's your homegirl from Chicago. It's been a long time.
It has indeed. Thanks for hanging on here for over half an hour. I appreciate your patience.
Oh, no, it's no problem. I wanted to kind of comment on the reason why most people either directly or indirectly take or participate in their own oppression. And I think you may have mentioned this before, but you have to factor in religion. You have to factor in that these people are being told Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday at Bible study that take no thought of tomorrow and, you know, surrender your will to God and count it all joy if something bad happens to you. So these people think that the worse it gets, the better it is for them. And somehow the bigger their mansion, maybe they'll get an extra pool or something in their mansion in heaven. So this is, you know, so this is what they think they, so this is why they, you know, either directly or indirectly, you know, take place in it because they feel like, good, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have so many gold stars that Jesus is going to put my desk right next to his and I'm going to be the teacher's pet.
Mm.
So that's one reason. Another reason is complacency. I've been talking to people. I've been down at the protest down on Jackson LaSalle. And I just want to say you helped to inspire that because for a long time I just been getting fed up and fed up and fed up. And you said, how long is it going to take till we hit the streets? So I'm like, forget this. I'm hitting the streets. So
hey, Jennifer, hold on a second. I got to do a break, but I want to talk to you a little bit more. Just hold on. Yeah, that point about religion that Jennifer is making, that is so true. You know, it was said a long time ago, religion is the opiate of the masses. You know, who was it? Groucho Marx say that, didn't he?
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's Mike Malloy.
If you want a live stream from the second encampment in Boston, there are two encampments of protesters. You can go to livestream.com/globalrevolution. And from that starting point, you can pretty much pick up on live video feeds from a number of the Occupy sites. livestream.com/global. Will you try to say it? Global Revolution. livestream.com/global revolution. And there is a live stream chat right alongside the video. And according to what the posters there are talking about, riot police are starting to assemble near the second encampment. I don't know. You can check it out, though. All right, back to Jennifer in Chicago. Thanks for holding on, Jennifer.
No problem.
All right. So where were we?
I was just saying the other thing is complacency. You have a group of people who have just been beat down so much, and this is all they know, that they have this thought of, you know, oh, well, it's never going to get any better. The government's always been like this. Corporations have always been like this. And that, it's like, well, that's because you have this attitude. I was coming home late one night from the protest, because I would just get up in the morning, get off work, head straight downtown protest, come home. And I saw this gentleman, and he's like, oh, you're coming from a party? I was like, actually, no, I'm coming from the protest. And I gave him the website and everything. And I'm like, you should come out and support. And he's like, oh, no, sweetie, I ain't got time for that. I got to work my two jobs. And it's like, That's the point. You shouldn't have to work two jobs to take care of yourself.
Yeah, or if you are going to work two jobs to take care of yourself, there has got to be some visible relief at some point. And by that, I mean you shouldn't have to worry about whether or not you're going to lose one of those jobs. Or to expand on your point, there should be jobs available that pay a decent wage so people can take care of themselves or their families. It's just getting that point, Jennifer, where enough's enough. And I think you and I and everybody else who's alive right now are going to witness something coming up here fairly quickly that is going to be the beginning of an enormous change in the way human beings conduct their business. You know what I'm saying?
I know it is. I took my son actually asked, could he go down there with me on Saturday for the big protest? So he was able to witness that, and I think it changed his mind. He felt empowered by it. So It's definitely going to get better. And I will say this, while I was down there, and then I'll let you go, some right-winger was down there trying to insult us and insult our intelligence by picking people and trying to do, on-the-spot questions. And so he made his way eventually to me, and he asked all of his crazy questions thinking I didn't know the answers. And I had some specific things about, bringing back Glass-Steagall and getting rid of the Citizens United and all that. So then he went, well, I know that this movement doesn't have a leader. If it had a leader, hypothetically, if it had to have a leader, who would it be? What message? So I thought he was, kind of trying to give me a little attitude. I just went really radical. I said, you know who I'd follow? Mike Malloy. Nationalize everything.
Oh, God. You know, I would have been tempted, and this is where normal people are so different from these right wingers. I would have been tempted when he said, well, if you had a leader, who would it be? To just, pause for a second, take a deep breath, hold my breath so my cheeks would get a little bit red, and then just scream at him, Lord Satan! and watch him dissolve into a puddle of, wetting his own pants.
These people
crack me up. All right, Jennifer, thank you. Stay in touch, please, okay?
Okay.
All right, take care. You take care. Lord Satan.
Now, Mike, you're giving away our little tip and trick to get rid of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, I feel sorry for them when they come to They trudge down this long and winding road to our door. It's usually a shock when they get here and they see the pentagram burned into the siding of my house and the upside down cross with a bat tied to it. You know, they still ring the doorbell. Oh my God! All right, we have a break coming here. So stick around. We'll continue with your calls in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
That you do what's right by your heart and soul. It's the imperfections make us whole. One life can tell the tale. And if you make the effort, you cannot fail. By your life, you tell me it can be done. By your life,
I had a hammer in the morning, a hammer in the evening, all over this land. A hammer out of danger, a hammer out of
right morning. Here, right now, Mike Molloy.
Between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
Sister, 25 before the hour, from Boston, an update here just a couple of minutes ago. Police are trying to shut down Occupy Boston tonight at 11:30 Eastern Time. It's 11:35 now. The police are moving in. According to the Occupy Boston Facebook page, the police have given an ultimatum to the protesters: clear out by midnight or be removed. Sounds like a challenge. Doesn't it? Well, it's 24 minutes before midnight. It's hard to get into anything other than this right now. I'm just going to set this aside for a second. We'll come back to these other topics. Mark is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hello, Mark.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, thanks. You were talking about a protest in the city. I kind of missed the location.
Yeah, it's... The protest is Thursday, October 13th, this Thursday. It'll be at the Palace Hotel from 4 to 5 p.m. That's located at number 2, New Montgomery Street, near Market.
Okay, I'll find it.
And
I'll be there.
Okay. And that's to protest. Jeb Bush and Rupert Murdoch are going to be there talking about something about Foundation for Excellence in Education, which is nothing of the sort. It's just another right-wing front group to destroy public education in the United States.
Well, I'll be there to let them know San Francisco doesn't welcome them.
Oh, good.
You know, Mike, the thing I see, here's a couple of good signs that I saw. It said the 99ers are too big to fail.
Yeah.
And can't find a job, take up an occupation.
There you go.
Some good stuff. There's some good stuff happening here in the city. They did take away, the Homeland Security came in and took away the tents on 101 Market Street. But the occupiers are still, they're back there. They're just, some of their stuff isn't there, but it's...
Took away the tents. Now, is any reason why Homeland Security would steal people's tents, other than the fact that they're fascist sons of bitches, but is there any other reason? Is it because maybe a terrorist would hide in a tent?
Who knows, but it's a waste of taxpayer dollars, that's for sure.
Oh, my God, they took away the tents.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, but it's going good here, and you know, Mike, this is such an important time for this country. We just got to get more and more people out there. The Republicans are going crazy. They're getting desperate. They know this is movement politics, and it threatens their agenda, which is to steal everything from the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, Mike, that stands out the most right now is the millions and millions of dollars that are going to go into this next election, and also the suppression of the votes. You know, those are two big items that mm-hmm. we're going to be dealing with.
If we make it to the next election.
Well, you know, nothing's for sure. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Okay.
But anyway, Mike, we're doing well here in the city. And you know what? This is it. This is the time. If not now, when? If not these grievances, what grievances?
That's true. That's very true.
Anyway, Mike, just hope we can get everybody out there possible, because this is a war that's been waged against us, and it's our time to fight back.
It is indeed. All right, Mark, thanks.
Okay,
October 13th, this Thursday, is the protest, and October 15th, as I'm sure you know, is this global day of Occupy Wherever. Enough's enough.
Yeah, I don't want to miss any of them, Mike.
I hear you. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, brother.
Appreciate your time. Thanks for checking in. You know, in my tiny little universe here, where sometimes you sit in until, you know, we can only handle about 38, 39 people listening to this program at one time. If we have more than that, then everything starts to collapse. So everybody knows that. A big night for us is 40 people listening. So among those 40 and me, you know, 41 of us sitting around chatting here over the past couple of years, and I've said it over and over and over again, you know, what's it going to take? Just in our little group here, our little group of 40 people, any right winger would tell you, Mike Malloy, well, that filthy son of a bitch, I never heard of him. It was, he got 30 listeners. Yes, exactly, me. But that's what, you know, we've talked about this over and over and over again. What's it going to take? What will finally move people to resist what is going on? And I think over the past 5 or 6 weeks, we have seen the beginning of that resistance. So to the 35, 36, 37 of the really dedicated people who listen to this program and me, you know, sitting around like we have been late in the evening, depending on where you're listening. But if you're listening live and you're anywhere east of the Mississippi, it's late in the evening. This may be our answer. I certainly hope so. I hope this is it. I hope this is that moment when people finally say, and you know, nonviolence is always the goal. Violence is the province of right wingers. Violence is the tool used by fascists. Violence is what the U.S. government has been involved in for the past globally for the past century, in here on Turtle Island for the past 300 years. But violence. Is just not, absolutely not, what the various Occupy movements are about. But for those people who are in positions of power, or think they are, I can tell you this. If you use violence against people who are peacefully demonstrating, and I don't give a tinker's damn if you are some right-wing punk or some power, some member of the corporate power structure. If you use violence against people who are protesting nonviolently, you're in for a surprise. You really are. I spent two or three days with a bunch of veterans in D.C. a couple of times now. First back in March, and then, you know, last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. These are people who have been in combat. So many of you right-wingers are nothing but cowards. And you talk a big story, and you get on your little chat rooms, and you're really kind of stupid with your insults. But if you push and continue to push, I mean, passive resistance, civil disobedience is a tactic chosen by the Occupy members, Occupy participants, Occupy cohort. But you've got to understand that at some point the resistance will change. It always has. It always will. A classic example would be the civil rights movement in this country, which was so passive in the sense of resistance. I'm not using it as in any term other than the way it was used by the civil rights movement, passive resistance. Until finally, some of the battles were won using that tactic. But then you had people like Stokely Carmichael. You had people like H. Rapp Brown. You had people like Malcolm X before he made his trip to Mecca. You had people who said, look, passive resistance, nonviolence only goes so far in a racist society. Take a look at South Africa. Until eventually, a resistance movement develops, and it doesn't make any difference what you call it, African National Congress, Black Panthers. I'm just citing the racial conundrum and the resistance that was born out of that, because it is the easiest for white people to get their minds around. No offense to white people. I are one. I'm just saying. But for the people now who are trying to make a point and effect change through nonviolence, for the people who are capable of violence, be very, 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 very careful. Show some respect to these people who are resisting, because if you do not, collectively there's a fist there that will smash you completely into the ground.
Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
For the hour from George in Oregon, the marching rally in Portland on Thursday were great. More than 6,000 people showed up. It was an outstanding crowd. There was also lots of 20 and 30-somethings there with a good number of older folks, too. Portland police were great, helpful all the way. Things appear to be going well there, and the occupation is continuing. Atlanta, evidently police threatened to go into the park at closing time, but the protesters did not leave. More people are moving to the park area in support. Just heard police cars moving closer. small group in the park say they will not get out. You can check this out at OccupyAtlanta.org and then click the live stream. Atlanta cops will probably get violent. This is, after all, Atlanta. Back to some calls here. Ron is in Dallas, listening on Sirius. Hello, Ron.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Mike? Listen, I just wanted to get this off my chest because I've waited almost 11 years to say this, and I want to be as blunt as I can. To every one of you protesters out there, now, I just have one thing to say. This protest of yours is about 11 years too late. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I hope you are too, because you bring it up every once in a while, this protest should have started exactly at 11:02 on December 12, 2000. Okay? I wrote an open letter to the Occupy New York, and I told them the genesis of our insanity that has led up to this point, the wars, the corporate greed, you name it, started on that day.
Okay, but Brown, just a minute. Consider now. I want you to consider something. Somebody who was, participating, who got your letter, your email, who's 22 years old, you're referring to a time when they were 10.
Well, hopefully some adult read my letter, not just some 22-year-old.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. And I agree that December 12th, 2000, there should have been 50 million people in the street, but there wasn't. And you and I have been lamenting that fact for a long time, but the evolution has begun now. And I'm not trying to get weird with you, but please keep in mind that a lot of people who are doing, putting their selves or bodies out there right now, this is brand new to them. These are 20-something people who have never done this before. And the time you're referring to, they were 10 years old. But I get what you're saying. Ron, thanks. Jeremy's in Huntington Beach, California.
Hey, Mike. You were asking earlier today, how is it that the right wing, these teabaggers, aren't able to think? And I guess you've never read the history of propaganda, the sort of invention of propaganda back in the 20s and
30s? It started out as advertising, public relations.
Yeah. Right. It's the same question you're asking basically is how does advertising work? It works by what they call emotionally potent oversimplification. If you want to stop making people think, you basically design your propaganda to short-circuit their logic. It's all emotion. And if you look at Fox News, I know this isn't news to you, but it's all emotion. Mm-hmm. Everything they claim cannot be verified by objective analysis. That's
right.
The point.
Right.
And people like Eddie Bernays and Walter Lippmann actually said that by these techniques, we can, control people's minds, or they said, and this is a quote actually, regiment people's minds the way armies regiment their bodies, end quote. And it works. I mean, anyone who talks to a teabagger realizes that it's almost like they're purposely programmed to be contradictory. I mean, like every 5 minutes, their supposed principles, they violate them every time.
Mm-hmm.
They just have different standards for different people, and it's logically not sound.
Right.
And it's almost like a little mark to identify them. I mean, you can see a teabagger coming from a mile away because you know exactly their sources of information just by what comes out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
It's like they're marking their little cattle, like with their ideas that are so easily proven unless they do what they do, and that is they're a cult now.
Mm-hmm.
They isolate you unless you actually think exactly like they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they do it. You know?
I hear you. I hear you. Absolutely right. All right, Jeremy, thanks. I appreciate your insight there. Thank you very much, right? the teabaggers or the right wingers or whatever the hell they're called, they make a big deal about individual thought, individual action. As Jeremy pointed out, they have as much individuality as a segment in a worm. They are not, they take the worst part, of non-thinking responses and apply it to whatever it is they're doing, and they think that they're being political. I don't know. It's crazy. I had a suggestion tonight to stop focusing so much on these right-wingers and get on with the idea of the progress of this movement. And it's good advice. I'll probably take it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.